Television watchers and internet users locally may be familiar with Catskill resident Andrea Mitchell, who has been featured in ads from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee against Representative John Faso. Just after Faso took office in January 2017, protesters at his Kinderhook office marched down to his nearby home. Faso came out to talk to them, and Mitchell, who has several health issues, asked him not to vote against not allowing pre-existing conditions in the nation's health care plan. Quote, I promise, unquote, Faso said, although later he would vote for the Republican American Health Care Act that would have reduced coverage, though it failed by one vote in the Senate. Now Mitchell says Faso is attacking her personally. Quote, last week, Congressman John Faso in New York 19 posted a header on his website that was my name personally, not an attack on another candidate or a policy, but a direct attack on a private citizen and constituent, unquote, Mitchell wrote on Twitter. She posted the following YouTube video as a response.
Hi, my name is Andrea Mitchell. I am a woman living with disabilities in upstate New York. I have a neurological disability and a number of birth defects and pre-existing conditions. And I live in the 19th Congressional District in New York, which is currently represented by first-term Republican John Faso. So last year, I went to a rally at my congressman's house, and he came out and he really graciously answered questions from so many of us, and the rally was starting to get derailed a little bit, and so when he said I have time for one more question, I knew that it was my time to step up and explain to him how important the ACA was and how important its coverage really was for so many of us. I asked him to not take away our coverage, and he hugged me and promised me that he wouldn't do that. And that video kind of went everywhere, and that promise, it's like the promise heard around the district. And that leads me to where we are right now. That promise was John Faso's truth. I think that he felt my honesty, and that was his truth. That promise was honest. Unfortunately, it was a promise that he could not keep. When I told my story to the congressman, if you watch the video, I'm really emotional. I'm not a politician. It was the first time I ever spoke at a rally, and I was trying to convey to him the desperation of growing up sick before the ACA was enacted, turning 21 before the ACA, and aging out of my parents' insurance was a terrifying prospect for me, because I knew that my parents' love for me would keep me alive for as long as possible, which included 9 days in a coma and the aftercare of having a child that fell into a coma, and how expensive that was. Because I was older when that happened, so I was really aware of the strain, even though my parents were never talked to me about it. I knew it in my heart, and I talked to other kids in the pediatric ward at Albany Med, other teenagers that felt the same burdens and pressures that we were putting on our families. And I wanted to express to him the desperation of coming to age with a pre-existing condition and having insurance companies turn you down because they weren't going to pay for something that wasn't their problem. And that's what I am, not their problem. The ACA protected us. And if you take that away, it hurts so many families. But we are at risk under the AHCA. The Kaiser Family Foundation found that there would be a reduction of spending of $880 billion, billions of dollars. And what does a reduction of $880 billion mean? It means that under the expansion where the federal government in some cases is paying up to a 90% split, that split drops to 50% and that tax burden falls to the states. That means that there will be cuts to the people that will be covered by the Medicaid expansion. Included in the AHCA, instead of a yearly reevaluation, there would be a 6-month reevaluation period. So, and any lapse in coverage, you could be eligible for the new rates, which by, I believe, 2021 could be up to 5 times higher than the out-of-pocket rates are now, which eliminates a lot of people from having coverage. I wrote down the number because I didn't want to forget it. So in 2013, uninsured non-elderly adults were 18.4% of the population fell into that category. By 2016, it was cut in half at 9.2. How many of those people will no longer become Medicaid eligible if we have these drastic cuts to Medicaid funding and spending? Would my healthcare be at risk if I'm covered under the Medicaid expansion? The CBO stated that 2/3 of all people that are currently covered under the Medicaid expansion would be dropped by 2021, and only 5% would remain by 2025. 5%. That number in 2027 drops to 1%, which is about 100,000 people of the 11 million people currently covered under the Medicaid expansion made possible by the ACA. So when you put on your website that my healthcare was never at risk, that is not true. Any cuts to Medicaid puts all people that are included under a Medicaid expansion at risk. That's just a fact. And saying that pre-existing conditions would still be covered is also a half-truth because they would only be covered for the first, what, 7 years before that funding would disappear. And you're artificially inflating that number by pumping federal funds into private insurance companies who would take that federal money for a certain amount of time before those private rates would expand again. You're putting faith that the insurance companies are voluntarily going to drop those rates and stay with those customers. But the truth is, the truth for every person that grew up with a pre-existing condition and aged out of their parents' COBRA before the ACA was enacted is those insurance companies are not going to step up for us. They're not going to. Those are the facts about healthcare. By calling me out personally on your official website and saying that I am lying, that I am misinterpreting my own story in some way, is hurtful. I came to you as a constituent in need, standing with a bunch of other constituents in need, and that's where I continue to stand today. Every week I come out in this district and I talk to people with health conditions. I talked to a family yesterday that's buried in debt for medical payments before the ACA was even enacted. I talked to a man who was homeless for 3 years paying for his wife's cancer treatment. I'm hugged in the grocery store. That day at the rally in front of John Faso's house, I was standing next to a woman who was holding a sign that was a picture of her son who was battling cancer. This fight wasn't about me. I didn't step up for me. I'm not the kind of person that steps up for me. I looked around at that group of people. I listened to those doctors speaking. I listened to the other medically fragile people speaking that day, and I knew that I needed to make it clear to you. I needed to put a human face on this. This fight was not about me. It's a fundamental difference between the policies and actions of Congressman John Faso and myself. It's not about me. John Fessa will never understand what it's like to stand up for your neighbors, to put yourself out on the line. I am vulnerable everywhere I go. I put my face out there voluntarily because I think that it is important to stand for people with disabilities, to stand for people with pre-existing conditions, to stand for people that are covered under the Medicaid expansion. I will continue to stand. You can continue to put whatever you want about me on your website. You can continue to tell your followers, your supporters, whatever you want about me. And I will continue to fight for healthcare in New York 19 and across this country because it is that important. It's something that you will never understand because you are not the kind of congressman that shows up for us. And I think we deserve better. I hope that this cleared a few things up. If it didn't, know where to find me.